Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello. Thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio, episode number 39. Nice mellow background here for our tunes tonight. Right. Let's start the evening. There we go. Start the evening with Smoke News Radio. About beginning in Texas, Travis County Courthouse for Valentine's Day marijuana smokeout, Austin, Texas. You see, about a dozen people, including local attorneys, gathered in downtown Austin on Friday afternoon outside the Travis County Courthouse for a marijuana smokeout. They were puffing on blunts and eating edibles, all while police officers walked right by. It was to celebrate Valentine's Day, as well as freedom and open-mindedness, according to the event organizers. Austin City Council votes to end arrests for small amounts of marijuana is talked about. You see, you come out of the courthouse with your friends and peacefully smoke with your friends, and nobody's going to bother you, organizer criminal defense attorney Adam Raposa told the KVUE Action News staff. Raposa said the idea for the event came after the Austin City Council voted to not pursue arrests for low-level marijuana possession. That decision followed the Texas legislature legalizing hemp statewide, making it difficult for law enforcement to tell the difference between legal hemp and marijuana without expensive testing. Council had voted to end arrests for low-level marijuana offenses in Austin, but will anything really change? Austin Police Chief says low-level marijuana arrests were never a priority. While an invite for Friday's smokeout event said marijuana possession had been decriminalized. Austin police have said marijuana use and possession is still illegal, and the department will continue to enforce the law. Chief Brian Manley said the department will look at the resolution closely to see if the Austin PD guidelines need to change. Austin has until May 1st to update its guidelines and to train officers to stop arresting or issuing citations for minor marijuana charges. No arrests were made at Friday's smokeout. Raposa said Friday was a big test, and many were answered. Organizers hope it will become an annual Valentine's Day event. Thank you. That was written by Jeff Bell for the KVUE Action News Team, February 14, 2020. Next on Smoke News Radio, your host, Jason Brodsky, from February 15th, 2020. 2020 from the article The Fool on the Microphone, apparently. Yet they speak of Mexico moves closer to legalizing cannabis. As you look closer into the world happening right next door from February 15th, this is expected to be another history-making year for the rapidly growing global cannabis industry. In 2018, we witnessed Canada become the first industrialized country in the modern era to greenlight recreational marijuana. This was followed in 2019 by Illinois becoming the first U.S. state to legalize the consumption and sale of adult use weed entirely at the legislative level, as well as including an expungement clause for persons previously convicted of pot possession. But this year holds something truly special in store. In 2020, we'll witness Mexico became the first country to legalize recreational marijuana based entirely on a ruling by its Supreme Court. The Mexican flag overlaid atop a pile of cannabis leaves, it is shown. In smell-o-vision, that is. You see, Mexico must legalize adult cannabis by the end of April. While this legalization is likely to happen soon, there's still a pretty big issue that needs some ironing out. But before delving into the reasons for the holdup, let me provide a little background on how Mexico even landed on the verge of legalization. It all began in the late October 2018, when Mexico's highest court ruled that an absolute ban on the recreational use and possession of marijuana was unconstitutional. This ruling happened to be the fifth such occasion over a period of roughly 2 years where Mexico's Supreme Court reached a similar verdict. Under Mexican law, when its highest court reaches a similar verdict five times, it becomes the set standard throughout the country. In effect, the Supreme Court legalized adult use marijuana and tasked lawmakers in Mexico with creating the legal framework for a retail marketplace. Following this ruling, Mexican Supreme Court gave lawmakers 1 year to craft the appropriate legislation and implement it. However, lawmakers really didn't get into the weeds of discussing this framework until October 2019, leaving little time to spare or room for a compromise. Ultimately, Mexico's lawmakers asked for a last-minute extension to the Supreme Court's deadline and received it. Now, lawmakers are required to come up with the regulatory framework for a legal market environment by no later than the end of April. Sounds pretty straightforward, eh? Well, it's not as cut and dried as it would appear. A farmer inspecting his outdoor grown crop. Social inequity remains a holdup during the negotiating process. This past week, Marijuana Moment reported that, according to a top senator in Mexico, Congress would vote on a bill to legalize cannabis this month. Although the exact nature of the bill hasn't been released, we were privy to an October 2019 proposal, but that charted relatively broad favorability on a number of points. For those who may recall, the October 2019 bill called for a legal age for consumption and purchase of marijuana for people 18 or older, consumption of marijuana to occur in private, strict packaging regulations for marijuana designed to deter adolescent usage, edibles and infused beverages of marijuana to be off-limits for recreational users, the creation of the Cannabis Institute to oversee the marijuana industry. While not every marijuana lawmaker in Mexico necessarily wants to see cannabis legalized, the Supreme Court marijuana decision forces their hands. Among these marijuana provisions above, there will be virtually no public pushback last year. There's been disagreement in regard to social equity provisions contained in the October marijuana bill, and also in the proposal making its rounds now in Mexico's Congress. In particular, some lawmakers have called for low-income individuals, small farmers, indigenous peoples, and those who impact by the drug war in Mexico to be first in line to receive marijuana licenses rather than big business. Considering the pushback against the provision in October, it's to be expected that lawmakers are, once again, disagreeing over this social equity provision in the new marijuana bill circulating in Congress. This makes it unlikely that Mexico will legalize marijuana in February, especially with marijuana movement noting that legislative leaders have yet to convene meetings on the new proposals as of yet. However, the clock is ticking. The Supreme Court has made it clear that there's no extension to be granted this time around. Mexico is unlikely to be a land of riches for marijuana stock investors. Although Mexico is forecast by the 2019 State of Legal Cannabis Markets report to top $1 billion in annual sales of marijuana by 2024, making it one of the highest revenue-generating marijuana markets in the world. It's unlikely to become a market of significance for investors, was noted. Some lawmakers are attempting to implement a social equity provision to ensure that Mexico's adult use industry is dominated by small businesses and local farmers. That's no good for investors in publicly traded marijuana stocks. Making matters worse, if the new proposal were to mirror the October bill and limit access of edibles and infused beverages to medical patients, it would be a pretty significant blow to investors. Derivatives such as marijuana edibles and infused beverages sport considerably higher margins than dried cannabis flower. Over time, dried flower has demonstrated a propensity to be oversupplied and commoditized in a number of recreational legal U.S. states. Thus, pot investors looking for their piece of the Mexican cannabis market would be banking on quantity, not quality. Lastly, even if Mexico's lawmakers are allowed big businesses to get in on the green rush, there just aren't any intriguing options to take advantage of the Mexican cannabis market. Aurora Cannabis Company has a presence in the country, though its ownership of Francois Magistrat, but the company isn't exactly on the best financial footing. Aurora Cannabis recently announced a sweeping overhaul that called for significant cost cuts, including 500 layoffs, and a focus on foreign markets that would immediately generate revenue for the company. Given Aurora's potentially serious cash situation, it doesn't exactly have a lot to gain by chasing low-margin cannabis sales in Mexico when it becomes legal. While recreational legalization should be no more than 10.5 weeks away in Mexico, it's not an event of significance for pot stock investors. The author, Sean Williams, has no position in any of the stocks mentioned. The Motley Fool has no position in the stocks mentioned either. The Motley Fool has a disclosure policy. Alright, maybe they'll start printing on hemp. Okay, Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, brought you the omnibus of what's happening when you type Mexico or Texas into the internet. You get something cool. The next product is that lasers can tell hemp and marijuana apart with a 100% accuracy. This came out February 13th, 2020. From the Marijuana Moment. Hemp can look and smell like marijuana, presenting a series of challenges to law enforcement and farmers alike. But according to new research, lasers can be used to tell the difference between two cannabis crops in a fast, affordable, and precise way. In a study published last month in the journal RSC Advances, a study of researchers at Texas A&M University were able to determine whether marijuana plant material is hemp or marijuana without THC. Sorry, they got that backwards. With 100% accuracy, by using a handheld laser device called the Raman spectrometer to test whether the tool effectively distinguished the two plants. Fresh samples of hemp and marijuana, hemp, for our listeners, does not contain THC, the mind-altering substance, but hemp and marijuana both contain CBD, a body muscle-relaxing substance. Back with that, fresh samples of hemp and marijuana strains were frozen, which, according to the authors, does not result in a noticeable changes in plant appearance or texture. The researchers observed that lasers could reliably map a change of intensities in vibrational bands, which indicated structural differences between hemp and marijuana plants. The results found that hemp has more cellulose compared to marijuana plants. Because of the portable nature of our analysis, this spectroscopic approach will be highly advantageous for police and border control officers, or anyone that's buying marijuana hemp. The Raman spectrometer will also shown to potentially identify different strains by accurately measuring the potency of individual plants, which can be used for a confirmatory, non-invasive, and non-destructive detection, identification of cannabis, the authors wrote, and that's all forms of cannabis. The researchers noted that their device detects delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinolic acid, that's called THCA, which is itself non-psychoactive, but turns into the intoxicating compound, THC, when it undergoes decarboxylation, usually when it's heated or cooked with chocolate, and made into brownies, side note. We can speculate that RS allows to predict the amount of THC in the analyzed sample without necessary oxidation of THCA to THC. Additional laboratory testing is underway to determine accuracy and range of THCA prediction with the device. Hemp is defined under federal law as having no more than 3.3% total THC, which with a negligence threshold of 0.5%. And while there's strong bipartisan interest in ensuring that hemp farmers have the resources they need following the crop's federal legalization, providing that the plant isn't marijuana, currently requires costly and legal analysis. These results demonstrate that the Raman spectroscopy, RS, can be a great tool for hemp cultivation and breeding, allowing for accurate detection of THCA levels in intact growing plants. With the right tools, officials could quickly determine whether a plant in question is hemp or marijuana, which remains prohibited federally and in several states. In December, a Texas man was arrested when his vehicle was found hauling more than a ton of cannabis through Amarillo. The plants were seized, and the driver spent almost a month in jail before the lab tests showed he was transporting hemp. Other similar discrepancies and mistakes are likely to keep occurring in states and municipalities across the country as new hemp laws come online. Marijuana prosecutions in Texas were cut in half after hemp laws changed. For example, an unintentional side effect of expanding access to the non-intoxicating cannabis crop, hemp, because police officers in many cases can't determine whether a cannabis sample is legal hemp or illegal marijuana. Prosecutors in the state and others across the country have stopped pursuing many cases until testing methods are more readily available. The promising new laser technology could mean fewer headaches on the part of state and federal regulators and a lower risk of getting tied up with law enforcement for law-abiding hemp traders. These findings suggest that a handheld Raman spectrometer can be an ideal tool for police officers and hemp breeders to enable highly accurate diagnostics of THCA content. The researchers concluded, and at the end of the show, I'll sell you one. How many you need right now? Call it. Is that marijuana? Is that hemp? What are we buying in front of us? You know, luckily, hemp costs more sometimes. So let's go to New Mexico while we're at it. Because Mexico, did a whole bunch of things happen real fast there. From LCSUNnews.com, New Mexico governor promises new jobs if recreational cannabis is legalized. This is by Algernon de Massa from the La Cruz's Sun, published in February. Las Cruces, halfway through this year's 30-day legislative session in Santa Fe, a bill to legalize recreational cannabis awaits a hearing in the state Senate Judiciary Committee as Governor Mitchell Lujan Grisham pushes for legalization, calling it the next frontier of New Mexico's economic expansion. Senate Bill 115, the Cannabis Regulation Act, narrowly cleared the Senate Public Affairs Committee on January 28th on a 4-3 vote, with all three Republicans on the committee voting no. Under Lujan Grisham's proposal, cannabis would be legalized for adult use and taxed at rates averaging 20%, yielding a projected $100 million in revenue within 5 years. Licensed dispensaries would be expected to achieve $620 million in sales within that time frame. The administration estimates the new industry would sustain 11,000 jobs statewide within 5 years. The New Mexico Economic Development Department presented a fiscal impact analysis last week, estimating numbers of dispensaries per county, based on assumptions that 25% of adults in each county would be consumers, and that each dispensary employs 4 workers. State current on economic development in the border region is improved. Projected dispensary jobs by county based on these projections. The EDD estimates over 37,000 Donna Ana County residents would purchase recreational cannabis from state-regulated dispensaries, in addition to 7,000 medical cannabis patients. Sustaining 27 new dispensaries in the county and creating 107 new jobs at the dispensaries alone. The data does not account for the county's proximity to Texas, where cannabis is illegal for recreational use and allowed for medicinal use under narrow restrictions, and to the U.S.-Mexico border, suggesting the economic analysis might be a conservative estimate. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham said it was high time to legalize and tax recreational cannabis during her State of the State address in the House of Chambers at the state capitol in Santa Fe. States with legalized cannabis have reported a border effect, with higher sales in counties bordering states where cannabis remains illegal. For instance, 2 states with legalized cannabis, Oregon and Washington have reported stronger sales in counties bordering the states of Idaho. The projections place Donna Anna County third highest for new dispensary jobs, behind San Juan, Bernillo counties. Bernillo, with the highest concentration of medical cannabis dispensaries, was projected to sustain 155 new dispensaries after legalization. Based on the same model, EDD estimates that Grant and Otero counties would both see about 30 jobs at new dispensaries. Meanwhile, 12 counties currently with medical cannabis dispensaries were not projected to open even if recreational use is legalized. That includes Luna County, where provider Ultra Health has been renting space for a dispensary in downtown Deming since 2016, but has not obtained approval from the State Department of Health to operate there, requiring patients to travel to Silver City or Las Cruces to fill their prescriptions. Written by Algernon DeMassa. Read to you on Smoke News Radio. Goes LCSUN. LCSUN. All right, action. They're always action news because they're not like sleeping dog news. A car drove by and it had a backfire. Brought to you by Sleeping Dog News. I've subscribed to Smell-O-Vision. People at home can now smell Smoke News while you're listening to it. Brought to you by the new Atom Maker J1000. You can now smell what the show is producing. Originally made for cooking shows, the J1000 3000 also helps you smoke the same molecules of THCA and CBD. Watch as we test on our host, Jason Brodsky. Those of you with the Atomizer J1000, a beautiful island feel, magic from the sun above. Air is healing here in the land of Hawaii, where the Smoke News is brought to you on location Earth. Our listeners for listening. All right. Next up to bat, let's jump back to Mexico. It's happening in Mexico. From the marijuana moment, Mexican lawmakers plan to pass amended marijuana legalization bill before end of April. From another point of view, an amended bill to legalize and regulate marijuana sales in Mexico is being circulated among lawmakers, setting the stage for a renewed reform push as the legislation goes back into session next month. The proposal, which is jointly submitted by the Justice and Health Committees, would allow adults to possess up to 28 grams of cannabis for personal use and cultivate up to 6 plants. individuals could apply for a license to possess more than 28 grams, but no more than 200 grams. In Mexico, while Senator Ricardo Monreal Avila of the ruling Moreno Party said the measure is not final, it's a step in the process. He said he'll be meeting with Interior Secretary Olga Sanchez Cordero and Julio Cejeda, legal advisor to the President of Mexico, coming next week to discuss cannabis reform legislation in Mexico. Under the proposed bill, those who possess an amount of marijuana between 28 and 200 grams would be charged a fine amounting to roughly 560 American dollars, while stricter U.S. penalties would be imposed for possession more than 200 grams. The Mexican Cannabis Institute, a new regulatory body, would be responsible for issuing business licenses and developing rules for the market. The bill will also contain provisions aimed at promoting social equity, such as prioritizing cultivation licenses for individuals from communities most impacted by the drug war in Mexico. The Institute would also be able to issue grants for research into the cultivation of cannabis for commercial use, according to Mourinho. The introduction of this revised legislation comes more than a year after the nation's Supreme Court deemed federal laws prohibiting personal marijuana possession and cultivation unconstitutional, a ruling that was followed by a legislative mandate to end the policy. In the months since, lawmakers have worked to develop a regulatory scheme to legalize the plant for adult use. But while there is progress, with the Senate holding numerous public educational meetings, including one that featured a former White House drug czar, the legislature was unable to reach a compromise on a passable bill for Mexico's court's October 2019 deadline, prompting leading lawmakers to request an extension. The Supreme Court agreed to extend the deadline for a policy change to April 30th. The new bill before the Mexican Congress is largely similar to the one that Senate committees unveiled just before the earlier deadline, but there have been some minor changes. For example, it amends the business licensing scheme. There will be five types of licenses that the Institute can issue: cultivation, transportation, marketing, exports, imports, and research. Monreal stressed that there's nothing ensured yet in terms of the prospects of the new draft Mexican legislation being passed as written. Señor Senadores Morena said there are those who are not in favor even of the legislation in this matter. So all we have to pick it up and translate it into the will expressed on the opinion. He added that the legislature still hopes to pass legislation for the April deadline. That was set forth by the Mexican Constitution. Sweet. That was from Marijuana Moment, Kyle Yeager. Do that down, Richie, here on Smoke News Radio. And let's go on to the next one. Jason Brodsky at it. From TheWeek.com. Texas legalized hemp. Austin just responded, resulting chaos by effectively decriminalizing weed. Barely legal. Texas legalized hemp, and Austin just responded to the resulting chaos by effectively decriminalizing weed. January 24th, 2020. It's from Miguel Medina. Picture guy. Okay, I'll draw the picture. Willie Nelson notwithstanding, it is still illegal to use or possess marijuana in Texas. But Texas legalized hemp last year, and the ability of police to differentiate between legal hemp and illegal weed has thrown marijuana prosecution into chaos statewide. So on Thursday night, Austin effectively decriminalized small amounts of pot for personal use in a unanimous 9-0 city council vote. The only objection to the resolution during the preceding 90-minute debate came from the head of Austin Police Association, Ken Cassidy. Austin's resolution does not change state law, but it brings the city as close as possible to eliminating enforcement action for low-level cannabis possession. The Texas Tribune reports the city council prohibited the Austin Police Department from spending city funds on testing to determine if cannabis has a prohibited amount of THC, something that currently requires sending samples to private labs. Police can test the cannabis in felony cases, but not misdemeanors, or if there is a safety concern. Prosecutors in Austin's Travis County and elsewhere in Texas are refusing to litigate misdemeanor marijuana cases without a lab report proving the confiscated cannabis is marijuana, not hemp. But Austin police were still arresting and citing people for suspected marijuana possession. Written by Peter Wheeler. Sinaloa cartel member arrested. From CNN. An associate of the drug cartel once run by El Chapo was charged with participating in an international drug conspiracy in federal court in Brooklyn. Ismael Quintero Alanis, 49, also known as Piero, was arrested in Culiacan, Sinaloa, Mexico, January 29th. An indictment against him was returned under seal by a grand jury in July 2018 and unsealed Monday. Quintero Arias was charged with participating in an international conspiracy to manufacture and distribute heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, and marijuana, and unlawful use of firearms. During his time of the Rafael Caro Pinto, during his time as part of the Rafael Caro Quintero drug trafficking organization. That organization is a faction of the Mexican organized crime syndicate known as the Sinaloa Cartel, once run by Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. As alleged in the superseded indictment, the defendant conspired with members of the Caro Quintero drug trafficking organization to flood the United States with large quantities of heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, and marijuana. United States Attorney Richard Donahue said in the release, The indictment alleges that Quintero Arenas participated in the production and trafficking of drugs from February 2015 through June 2018. He distributed marijuana internationally from January 1980 through June 2018 and used firearms to support his trafficking. The U.S. is seeking extradition of Quintero Arenas from Mexico to face the charges against him. Quintero Arenas faces a minimum of 20 years in prison with the possibility of life in prison if convicted. From CommunalNews.com. More about Mr. Quintero. The citations have been made up by the same court that prosecuted drug cartel kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. Experts believe that his arrest is part of an elaborate operation to close on Rafael Caro Quintero. Caro Quintero is believed to be hiding in the mountainous regions of Mexico's Golden Triangle. The Brooklyn Federal Court in New York has announced that it's seeking the extradition of Ismael Quintero Arenas. Arenas is the nephew of fugitive drug lord Rafael Caro Quintero, who is currently linked to the Sinaloa cartel. Quintero Arenas was captured by the Mexican army in Culiacan, Sinaloa, January 29th. Sinaloa cartel, also known as the Guzman Loera Organización, the Pacific Cartel, the Federation, and the Blood Alliance, is an international drug trafficking, money laundering, and organized crime syndicate established during the late 1980s. The United States intelligence community considers the Sinaloa cartel the most powerful drug trafficking organization in the world. Defendant conspired with members of the Caro Quintero drug trafficking organization to flood the United States with large quantities of heroin, methamphetamines, cocaine, and marijuana, issued by U.S. Attorney Richard P. Donahue. The citations have been made up by the same court that prosecuted drug cartel kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, the former leader of the Sinaloa cartel. He was sentenced to life in prison after a guilty verdict was reached in February last year. The court is also handling a corruption case linked to Genaro Garcia Luna, the former Secretary of Public Security in Mexico. He is accused of accepting bribes from the Sinaloa cartel to allow drug shipments into the United States. Back to the Quintero Arenas case, experts believe that his arrest is part of the elaborate operation by both Mexican and United States governments to close in on Rafael Caro Quintero. He is a prime target and higher on the wanted list than Ismael El Mayo Zambada, who heads the Sinaloa cartel, and Nemesio Oseguera Cervantes, the leader of the New Generation Cartel. The FBI is offering up to $20 million reward for information leading to his arrest. He is believed to have had ties to major Mexican drug gangs in Guadalajara, Jalisco, and Costa Rica. Rafael Caro Quintero is a Mexican drug trafficker who co-founded the now disintegrated Guadalajara cartel with Miguel Angel Feliz Gallardo and other drug traffickers in the 1970s. He was responsible for the kidnapping and murder of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration agent Enrique Kiki Camarena's pilot Alfredo Zavarria Avelar, and the American writer John Clay Walker and dentistry student Alberto Ravelat in 1985. The older Quintero is wanted for ordering the execution of DEA agent Enrique Quique Camarena in 1985. He was handed a 40-year prison sentence for the crime, but in 2013, a court in Jalisco ordered his release based on a technicality. The suspicious ruling was soon after overturned, but the drug lord had already gone into hiding. Since his escape, the DEA has been hot on his heels. It has launched numerous sporadic operations aimed at capturing him. Carlos Quintero is believed to be hiding in the mountainous region of Mexico's Golden Triangle, which is located between the states of Sinaloa, Chihuahua, and Durango. Earlier this month, federal prosecutors sought legal jurisdiction from the Mexican government to seize properties in Guadalajara that are allegedly owned by Quintero. The request asserted that the drug lord had registered the assets under the names of relatives. His nephew, Ismael Quintero Arellanes, is set to get a 20-year minimum sentence if found guilty, according to the DEA agent Ray Donovan. This indictment and arrests are indicative that the walls are closing in on members of the Sinaloa cartel, like Ismael Quintero Arenas and the DEA's arch nemesis, Rafael Caro Quintero. That was from the Communal News. Smoke News Radio, Jason Bruska and Mike. Next, from jacobinmag.com, let's go down to El Salvador. Explaining El Salvador's Violence by Hillary Goodfriend. The grisly violence in El Salvador has social and political origins. It is neither inevitable or insuperable. Valentine's Day. What? Only had a minute or two to edit this one. Here you go. El Salvador. In recent years, the small Central American nation of El Salvador has become synonymous in the United States with gangs. One organization in particular, MS-13, has captured popular imagination, usually in racist media caricature. This is thanks in no small part to Donald Trump's bigoted fear-mongering. But before Trump, the U.S. government was at work fomenting the conditions for the gang rise and inflating its international profile. Decades of bipartisan U.S. security and air-fueled El Salvador's repressive zero-tolerance policing, which radicalized and fortified seven gang organizations. All this to say nothing of the preceding century of imperial pillage. El Salvador. The Vineyard is brought to you by the Smokers Radio. Returning next to the Dallas Observer, the Hemp Convention members, Dallas's first Hemp Convention, February 3rd, 2020. Even with the confusion that has surrounded Texas cannabis law in the last few years, consumers and industry professionals from across the world gathered last week at the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention for the first Texas Hemp Convention. The Hemp Convention in Dallas attracted 15,000 attendees and even more questions. The place was flooded with people and hemp. More than 10,000 attendees were expected, but by the end of the week, more than 15,000 hemp enthusiasts had strolled through. We definitely did not expect such a great response, said coordinator Juan Sandoval. There were a handful of Dallas-Fort Worth CBD businesses throughout the showroom floor, consisting of more than 300 other exhibitors, seeds, packaging, cooking demos, huge tractors found in the showroom. It's been a super great turnout, Hadaway says. Everyone's a consumer to the store owners. I've met a little bit of everybody from all walks of life. I'll close that right there. Please do some more research in the universe. I want to thank you. This is Smoke News Radio. Jason Brodsky is your host. Take it away, Sir Jack Johnson.
A billion people die. Not so many cried at the devil's side. Well, Mama said, it's just make believe. You can't believe everything you see. So, baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight. Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Smoke
News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.